It is a happy new year. I don't know about you, but 2016 wasn't too hard on me. I think God did a lot in 2016, and I look forward to what He's going to do in 2017. But I bet fresh on our mind, I think people still do this, fresh on our mind may be some resolutions. Anybody have a list of resolutions? See, I heard that people are stopping resolutions. Well, God bless you. But usually a popular thing is to make a resolution, say it's a new year, it's a new me. I even yesterday shaved my beard into a Fu Manchu. New year, new me. And I blessed you and didn't wear it this morning. But resolutions. A popular resolution is I'm going to lose some weight. I made that resolution probably the last 5 years. You see me now. A resolution maybe, hey, I'm going to stay active. Taylor said one of her resolutions is I'm going to do something creative. Every day I'm going to do one creative act. You can ask her to explain that to you. But creating these resolutions is popular. But I hope for you today, as you head into 2017, you are resolute in growing in your relationship with the Lord. You say, if I don't lose a pound, if I don't do something creative, what I am going to do is walk closer with Jesus. And maybe you do that by saying every day I'm going to make an appointment with the Lord and spend time with Him. Say, I'm gonna make a point to be more generous. But make a point to grow in your relationship with the Lord. We see in this text, in Mark chapter 5, a man who probably had a desire to grow. A man who probably had a desire for change. But there was something standing in his way. Maybe today when you hear that, be resolute in growing with your in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you think, well, there's something in my way. I would love to do that, but I don't have enough time to get up and read the Word. You see, man, I would love to be free in 2017, but there's this sin that has just haunted me for years and years and years. Well, I think in Mark chapter 5, we can find encouragement today that maybe we can be set free for 2017. If you will, look with me. Mark chapter 5. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. Oh, would that be our response when we see Jesus today? With a shriek he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to a nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. Those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. The crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. And maybe this morning you say, Seth, I want to be set free. I want to go into 2017 with a pep in my step. I want to serve the Lord more. I want to be more dedicated. I want to spend more time in the Word, but there are these distractions. Well, we can find several things that we have in common with this demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. The first one is this, is that we all have an uncontrolled sin. The second, we all need an unconstrained Savior. The third, we've all received an uncompromised sending. The first one, we all have an uncontrolled sin. We see in verse 2, the author uses the language possessed. This man was possessed. Demons, many demons, they were called legion, entered into this man, and they hijacked this man's life. I don't know what this man did before he was possessed, but I'm sure he had plans, he had dreams, he had things that he wanted to accomplish. But these demons hijacked his life. We see in verse 3 that they drove him out of society. He went to a graveyard, and that's where he spent his time. There he grew violent, thrashing around, and people tried to subdue him. We see that in verse 5. They tried to put him in chains. They tried to shackle him. They tried to lock him up. But it was no use. He broke the chains, smashed the shackles. He had an uncontrolled sin, an uncontrolled evil. He was so under control that he had become out of control. Maybe you know someone like that. We see several things about this uncontrolled sin or this uncontrolled evil. And that one of those is the presence of an enemy. We see that in verse 2 where Mark says he was possessed. This morning, church, I want to make this very clear. We are at war. We are at war. We are not in peacetime. There is an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And I want to make a point to say this morning that that enemy is not a Republican or a Democrat. That enemy is not a Hindu or a Muslim. That enemy is not a white person or a black person. But this enemy is a spiritual being, an adversary, who works opposite of the kingdom of God, seeking to destroy you, opposing you and the God who has a bigger and better plan for your life. Now, we live in a day and age where we reason these things away. We live in a day where our society that says this is some hillbilly, uneducated stuff, where this spiritual realm doesn't really exist. But today I'll let you know there are spiritual forces working in your life. Pardon the Star Wars speech. There is one who seeks to every step frustrate you and distract you from what God has planned for you. And this enemy is not weak. This enemy is not frail. This enemy is powerful. We see that in verses 3 and 4 where this man who is so under control that he is out of control, that he can't be shackled, he can't be controlled. And you say, well, Seth, I don't have a demon in me, and maybe not. But you do have a sin nature. And we can make a connection here. You may not be haunted by a demon or a legion of demons, but you are haunted by your own sin. You are at war with your own sin, or so I hope you are at war and not snuggling up close and comfortable with it. There is a sin in all of us that makes an attempt to control us and even get us out of control like this man. It's a powerful sin. Paul talks about his struggle with this sin in Romans 7:15. He says, I want to do right. I try to do right, but instead I do what I hate. We all have this uncontrolled sin, this sin that haunts us, this sin that at every corner, this sin that we think we might have mastered, but then again shows up when we least expect it. This sin that seeks to hijack our life. And some of us seek to control it. Some of us, in our own strength, we think, I can make this right. I can get this under control. And we preach a works gospel to ourselves. We say, be better, do better, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But just like the people in the town couldn't control this man, we cannot control ourselves. I'll submit this to you, and I know this is very encouraging for a new year. New year, new me. You have a problem that you cannot fix. You have an issue that you can't work out. You can't say, well, maybe I'll ignore it and it will go away. You cannot lock your door and shut it tight enough. We all have this uncontrolled sin that we cannot stop. We cannot fix. And maybe you say, Seth, not me. Not me. See, because some of you deal with a less pretty type of sin. Some of you, maybe today, you have an uncontrolled sin of alcoholism, or maybe you struggle with smoking something you're not supposed to, or maybe you have a pill that controls your life, or maybe you struggle with lust and pornography, or maybe there's a sin of hatred that has hijacked your life, or maybe you're bitter. You want to serve the Lord with joy. You want to spend 2016 well. But bitterness has hijacked your heart. Maybe it's greed. Maybe you can't give and you can't serve because you still have an idea that something belongs to you. Whatever it is today, we all have it. This problem haunts us all, though it might manifest itself differently for you than it does for me. We all have an uncontrolled sin, a problem that we cannot fix. And a result of this enemy, as a result of this powerful evil, this leads to the problem of empty living. Look with me, verse 5. This man is possessed. He's living in the cemetery. And verse 5 is what this man's life consists of. Day and night he wandered. Everybody say wandered. Wandered. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. See, when our lives are hijacked by sin or the evil one or our own stubbornness, it leads to a life of emptiness. It leads to a life of wondering. And this wondering isn't a healthy wondering. It leads to an aimless wonder. It leads to a hopeless wonder. That this man was not one who had a whole lot of hope. And it led to a harmful wondering as he hid away and cut himself. You say, Seth, I've never cut myself. And I would submit to you this morning that sin is not something that we can coddle. When we bring it in close, it serves more like a porcupine than a soft throw pillow, one of the hundreds that I have on my bed at home because of my wife, right? It's not a throw pillow. And when sin hijacks our life, it is harmful to us. It might be harmful in the way that we do drunk drive and we get in trouble with the law, or it might be harmful where we wonder for many, many years and we look back and we say, I've wasted it. Spent my life on me and I have nothing to show for it. Sure, I have a car and I have a boat, but I don't have a love or a hope or a joy. We all have an uncontrolled sin. We all have an issue that haunts us, whether we want to admit it or not. We all have a problem. And this is in nobody's five-year plan. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to waste my life away. I want to waste through that. Nobody's saying, I want to waste 2017. But sin takes us farther than we want to go, and it keeps us longer than we want to stay. I've heard a lot of preachers say. And it's true. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend another day like this, and I sure don't want to spend another year like this. Amen? I'm sure this man, it says that when he saw Jesus, he ran to him. I'm so thankful that this story does not end with an uncontrolled sin. Our story does not have to end with an uncontrolled sin. Our uncontrolled sin merely points to our need for an unconstrained Savior. And what do I mean, an unconstrained Savior? We need a Savior who isn't chained, who isn't haunted, who isn't sinful, who cannot lie and who cannot be. We need a Savior who stomps on the head of the enemy, amen? And we have one. I love this quote by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He says, I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. You see, Jesus was greater. Jesus was greater than this man's sin. He's greater than the legion of demons. We know this because the demons bow to Jesus in verses 6 through 8. The scriptures talk about every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That includes all those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every knee and every tongue shall bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's what these demons did here. They also have to obey Jesus. That they beg Jesus not to send them to some distant land in verses 11 through 13. They say, no, Jesus, don't do that to us. This is much like we see in Job, where Satan wants to tempt a very godly man named Job. Y'all remember this. But before he can, what does he have to do? He has to go to God, the throne of God, and ask for permission. That's good news for you and me. And the demons do the same here. Now listen to me. The demons don't bow to Jesus or obey Jesus because, like the Pharisees said, he's the prince of demons. No, they bow to Jesus and they obey Jesus because Jesus is the king of all creation. Now, I want you to know this morning that it's not just the demons that bow to Jesus. Our sin bows to Jesus. The fig tree bows to Jesus. The winds and the waves bow to Jesus. I don't know what haunts you today, but it bows to Jesus. Cancer today bows at the feet of Jesus. Diabetes bows at the feet of Jesus. Bitterness bows at the feet of Jesus. Greed bows at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is greater. Jesus is more powerful. Just like we talked 2 weeks ago, John said, there is someone coming who is greater than I. There is someone coming who's greater than Abraham, who's greater than Isaac, who's greater than Jacob, who's greater than Moses, and this is Jesus. There is no other name. Jesus is greater, and Jesus alone can set people free. We see in verse 15, we see a freedom received. Look with me, verse 15. This is after Jesus has freed the man, sent the demons out. And like always, Jesus gathered a crowd. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus. And they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. We see a freedom received and a life transformed. I bet you, I can just see the man sitting there. Y'all remember me? And I bet he would shout what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. He would say, I am free. I am no longer chained. I am no longer shackled. I am no longer haunted. Because if the demons bow to Jesus, so do I. This is a great freedom received. And it says the people were afraid. And you say, well, why were the people afraid? This was an inconceivable salvation. This was a transformation that could not be understood by human eyes. Imagine this. You grew up seeing this man violent and angry, no hope, cutting himself. You can imagine what this man looked like. But one thing changes, and he sits with his legs crossed and his fingers rubbed. Has anybody ever looked at you and said, what in the world happened to you? You're different. I knew you back then, but you're not that person anymore. Can you look back at a time in your life where you were miserable, you were hopeless, but then there was a moment you met Jesus and everything changed? Jesus alone can set people free. Jesus alone transforms the heart and the mind and the soul and the hands. Jesus alone makes people new. This is why in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, while I was with you, I resolved to know nothing except Christ and Christ crucified. This is why Paul would write in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. This is why the Christian and the hymnist cry out, oh, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Today, are you free? You can be. Just like these demons, your addiction can be expelled. I tell you, the most joyous moment of my life is when my mom looked at me and honestly said, I have no desire for crack cocaine anymore. A sin that had haunted her for years and years and years, finally released in glory realized. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Your addiction can be expelled. Your lust can be expelled. Your desire to tell coarse jokes can be expelled. Whatever it is today, you can be set free. There was a freedom received, but there was also here a failure to believe. You saw the people's response. I bet this man was filled with joy and hope, but there were others who were filled with fear. Look with me, verses 16 and 17. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pig. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. We'll see in verse 18 that this man did not want Jesus to leave him alone. This man would probably say, Jesus, do it again, do it again, do it again. But there was a group who said, Jesus, we don't want any of this. Maybe today you aren't haunted by a demon, but you are haunted by Jesus. The hound of heaven is after you. You know God is calling. He is hot on your heels, and you want no part of it. And today I declare he is better. He is not only enough, but he is everything. He is not only sufficient, but he is supreme. He is better. We'll also notice about these people, though, they told the story as they went. There are missionaries and there are gossipers. Church, our world is full of people, and I hope our church is not full of people who love to tell a story but they do not want their story to be interrupted. There are many people who love to tell a story, but they don't want their story interrupted. There are people who love to hear about stories of transformation. They love to hear about all these things that God does and did and will always do, but they don't want any part in it. They love to hear how God changed your life, but they sure don't want God to change their life. Today, I want you to hear, maybe you're thinking this story is for somebody else. This story is for you. If today you sit in your seat and you think somebody else needs to hear this sermon, or you're peeking out and you're cutting your eyes at somebody across the sanctuary, I bet they're getting this. No, this is for you. We all have this need. And we all need the Savior. Lord, interrupt our stories. Lord, change our hearts. Give us faith. Make us new. In Jesus' name. But the story doesn't end there. It keeps going. I love the story. It just keeps going and going and going and going. We all have an uncontrolled sin. We do. It's our nature. We all need an unconstrained Savior. We need a Savior. We need someone who is above this. We can't help ourselves, but we need a helper. We can't save ourselves, so we need a Savior. His name is Jesus. And Jesus saves this man. He transforms this man. He makes him a new man, and he gives him a new mission. He gives him a new plan of action. And like him, we've all received an uncompromised sending. Look with me, verses 18 through 20. In 18, Jesus gets in the boat, and the man begs to go with him. But Jesus responds in verse 19, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region, and he began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Jesus has a better plan. Maybe you had a plan for 2016, and I guess it worked out one way or the other. Maybe you have a plan for 2017. Well, this morning, would you know that Jesus has a better plan? Maybe you've tried to rationalize out in your mind how you can get this and get that and serve God. Well, I don't know. Jesus has a better plan. As Taylor and I talked about how we should pray for Layla and how we want you to pray for Layla, I thought to myself, pray that she's more concerned with God's plans than she is with our plans. That she would be more concerned about impressing Jesus than impressing her daddy. And that we would realize that my plans of her being a... She's not going to be an NFL quarterback either way. But my plans of her being also a softball player or making straight A's or doing whatever else, God may have a different plan. And those plans are better than my plan. And sometimes those plans aren't bad. This man begged to go with Jesus. I don't think that's a bad plan. I think a lot of people need to go with Jesus. But Jesus had a different plan. Sometimes it's not a decision about good or bad, but it's about good, better, and best. Listen to Jesus. That's what's best. What was best for this man was to go back home and to tell everyone about what Jesus had done for him. This man had received a new life, a renewed hope, a renewed vision, and a new mission. He received a new purpose. And that was to go and tell everyone what Jesus had done for him. I'll ask you this morning, when's the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? When is the last time you told somebody what Jesus is doing for you? I'm embarrassed to tell you that it was our satellite man 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It shouldn't be that long. Pray for me to share Jesus more in 2017. Because he's done too much for me to be quiet. When's the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? Y'all know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing. I'll point this out and then we'll be done. We see it with this man and we see it in experience. But oftentimes, Jesus will make our misery our mission. He'll make our misery our message. He'll make our misery our ministry. And that's true for this man. For the rest of his life, he could say, I once was. There was a time. I was this and I was that, but now I'm not that person anymore because of Jesus. And I'm sure that man wasn't glad to be possessed by demons, but I bet he could look at God and say, God, thank you for allowing that in my life because I can use it to tell about your grace. I can use it to tell about your mercy. I'm not thankful for the childhood that Larry had, but I'm thankful that God allowed it so that you can minister to me. I had to go to my daddy this morning and I said, Daddy, I want to share something today. Is that okay? I don't know how many of you know this, and that's okay, but Ron Springs is my daddy. But he's not my biological father. There was a time in my life where our family was a lot different. And there was unfaithfulness in marriage and addiction and all that wrapped up, and I was a part of it. I was a result of that. And in practice, never by word, but in practice, I heard my biological father say, I don't want you. You're not mine. But there was a day where I heard Jesus say, I want you. And you are mine. And God didn't just do that so that I could get a front row seat in heaven. God did that because there are young men that I will come in contact with throughout my life, and I can look at them straight in the eye with credibility and say, listen, there was somebody who didn't want me, just like there's somebody who doesn't want you, but there is someone greater who does. Today, I don't know what your misery is. I don't know what your haunting is. I don't know what your sin is. But he does, and he wants you anyways, and he wants to use it for his glory. Man who is dealing with an addiction to pornography, repent and believe. Be forgiven. And minister to other young men who are struggling with the same sin. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I used to have the mouth of a sailor, but now my mouth is used to glorify the King. Would you glorify him with me? Today, I don't know what you're in bondage to, but there is one who can set you free. Today, would you realize that you are made for more? Would we not wander living a life of emptiness, wasting it away? Would we experience that redemption that is found only in Christ Jesus? And then would we be healed by it, and would we use it for his honor and his glory? Would the redeemed of the Lord say so? So. The invitation this morning is that. See Jesus and run to him. Bow and be healed. Lay these things at his feet and be free. Be free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to ask that you come. the altar is open. Lay those things at the feet of Jesus. Cheryl emailed me throughout the week. She said, I looked at your PowerPoint and a song came to mind. She said, it's a little bit different. It's not as slow as most invitation songs, a little bit more upbeat. Do you think it's appropriate to play? And I think it is. And so I ask that you listen, you sing along if you know it, and you respond as the Lord leads. Father God, come and work. Do the work that no man can do. Jesus alone, Jesus alone. And might one here today be free. In Jesus' name.